Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got a lot to talk about here on this Freedom Friday here on Montana Talks. Montana Governor Greg Gianforte was at Mar-a-Lago having dinner with President Trump last night. I've got some audio of the governor's remarks at the press conference. Meanwhile, back in Helena, the Montana State Senate still at a standstill over this battle over the rules. Give you some of the latest info on that front. We'll take your calls and much more. But first up, we've got a great guest kicking off the show here with us here. We've got Clayne Jones from Montana State University Extension. And anyway, Clayne is the MSU Extension Soil Fertility Specialist and a professor in MSU's Department of Land Resources and Environmental Sciences. Got a new report out from MSU Extension about pulse crops and wheat rotations. So I'm looking forward to hearing more about this. But Clayne, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Yeah, you know, it's been so fun following the expansion of pulse crops in Montana since I first got started in statewide talk radio. It was over a decade ago, I think, when Northeast Montana really started capitalizing on integrating pulse crops into their rotations with their wheat. And instead of just leaving it fallow, they would plant pulse crops instead and then go back to wheat after that. And now we're the world's leader, the nation's leader in pulse crops. So anyway, tell us kind of big picture what you're now finding out of Montana's Golden Triangle.
Yeah, my colleague Perry Miller has really led this work. And what he's done is a few different studies, one here west of Bozeman and one up in the Big Sandy area, where we tracked net profit following different crop rotations. So planting wheat every year, fallow wheat, a pulse crop wheat, a cover crop wheat, those types of rotations. And the big winner was growing a pulse for grain, so growing pea or lentil or chickpea, followed by winter wheat. And that really did a lot better than any of the other three rotations we had in that study up in Big Sandy.
Very interesting. And this stood out to me because I was actually in Big Sandy last August. We had a great event at the Mint Bar there. And, you know, August is a busy time in the Golden Triangle, obviously, because of the harvest. So, you know, a nice couple popped in to join us for dinner in the middle of harvest. And they said they were actually really excited because they were just doing their first round of pulse crops ever.
Interesting. Yeah, but like you said, you know, about 20 years ago, pulses really took off in Northeast Montana, and then they've essentially spread across the rest of the state as growers and their crop advisors have figured out how to grow them, that they're not that much harder than growing barley or wheat, and they've really integrated that into the rotation.
And, of course, it's the feedback and the research and the insight from MSU Extension that's been a big part of all of that along the way. That's why we're so excited here to talk more with Clayne Jones from MSU Extension. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll talk more with Clayne Jones here right after this on just what they found in this study out of the Golden Triangle of Montana.
Hey.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I was telling Clayne Jones during the break, you know, we've got so many great listeners across the state here with Montana Talks that we've got farmers who really know this issue. I mean, I've got a farmer friend in Scobie listening right now who, you know, 10 years ago or so pulled some of these pulse crops out of the ground and showed me the little beads of nitrogen, if that's what you want to call it, that are attached to the, you know, that are attached to these things. And so they can explain this to you. But then we've also got a lot of town kids, a lot of people in town that are like, wait, what's this deal? What's pulse crops? What are you talking about? Nitrogen. And so we're getting a chance to talk to everybody all at once here. But Clayne Jones, again, great to have you on the show. So for What are the biggest takeaways that you got from this study in the Golden Triangle? Just big picture overall, what do you think stood out the most?
I think two major things stood out the most. So the first was in a dry area like Big Sandy, which gets about 14 inches of rain a year, which is not very much. We assume that probably growing, you know, wheat or barley and then fallow is likely the best for profit. And that's why so many farmers use fallow. It stores water. It allows the next crop to grow really well. It also allows for good seeding conditions. So farmers have very good reasons for using summer fallow. However, what we found was the net profit by growing a pulse crop, cutting it for grain, and then followed by wheat actually outperformed fallow wheat by a substantial amount of money. And so we were a little surprised by that finding, but that's what we found. And that's what, you know, people in the northeast part of Montana and central Montana have been finding for quite a few years.
And when you say a substantial amount of money, what do you mean by a substantial amount of money?
Over that study, I'm talking over $100 per acre. So pretty big profit margin compared to fallow wheat.
Yeah, very interesting, especially when profit margins are what are so tight for many in farm and ranch country right now. And then what was the second big takeaway you were just about to get into?
Yeah, and then the second big takeaway was something else we did in the study, kind of as an afterthought, was we monitored soil pH. We're finding across Montana that many of our soils, which are generally considered to be neutral, meaning pH somewhere around 7, and crops grow great around 7, we're finding pHs as low as about 4 in parts of the Golden Triangle. So that will completely stop crop growth. So what we did was we measured pH at the beginning and the end of the study, and the treatments that had high rates of nitrogen were the ones where the pH dropped the most. And that's what we're also finding. Nitrogen causes the soil acidification. So nitrogen in the short term can be great for profit because it increases yield and it increases wheat grain protein. But then in the long term, if we apply too high of nitrogen, we see this soil acidity issue. And then we can end up having to lime that soil or grow different crops. Both of those can be fairly expensive. And so short-term benefits of nitrogen, but long-term downsides of high rates of nitrogen.
So it's not as simple as, okay, if before you planted wheat and then you left it fallow, then you go back to planting wheat, now you can plant wheat, then plant pulses, then plant wheat. It's a little more complex than that, if I'm hearing you right. And then on top of that, is if before people were thinking, hey, maybe the Golden Triangle isn't the place for pulse crops, now you're saying, oh, no, it is, but there's some trade-offs that you got to look at.
Exactly. There's always those trade-offs. So one issue that producers have when they try to grow a crop every year, especially if we have a dry August, dry September, is it can be extremely difficult to seed into that kind of rock hard ground. And that's one reason that fallow is so attractive. We almost always have soil moisture after fallow. So that's certainly one trade-off. And then we do see reduced, you know, wheat and barley yields after growing a pulse crop for grain, maybe 3, 4, 5 bushels per acre. But profit-wise, that's offset by the dollars we get from selling that pulse crop.
Very interesting. And, yeah, what are some of the other big questions that you'd be getting from producers in particular in terms of the benefits of continuous cropping? I guess, what are some of the big questions you're getting from those in the know?
You know, some questions, well, so these pulse crops, they put nitrogen into the ground. One question we get is, how much can I back off of my nitrogen fertilizer the year after I grow, say, a pea or a lentil crop? It's a great question. And we think early on, like right after somebody adopts a pulse crop, it might only be like 10 pounds of nitrogen per acre. And that's not very much. But those people that stay in that pulse production, maybe 2, 3, 4 cycles, we start seeing bigger benefits, maybe 20 or 25 pounds of nitrogen per acre. And when nitrogen costs 50, 60 cents a pound, that really adds up. Nitrogen often is the biggest input cost for producers in Montana. So any way they can save on that input is a win.
save input costs, add to the profit on a per acre basis by integrating those pulses as well.
Exactly.
Very interesting. Well, I'll tell you, I was at the KATQ Radio Farm Expo in Plentywood just under a year ago, and the Pulse Crop Association folks came by, and they brought me a gift package with all sorts of Pulse Crop product foods, including like a Pulse Crop chocolate protein shake, and it was actually really tasty. It was really good, and it had the same level of protein that you would get in any of your major nutritional stores in terms of the grams of protein in a protein shake. So it was kind of cool to see all these different products. And then of course you've got like companies like 41 Grains out of Circle that makes a ton of kind of farm to table products made out of Pulse Crops, and they're all gluten free as well. I know that's an issue for some folks and some families as well. Clayne Jones, if you can stand by, we'll come back to you for some final thoughts here right after the break, and then he's got to step into a meeting, and then we'll pivot to some other topics here this morning as well, including the audio of Governor Greg Gianforte at the Trump Mar-a-Lago meeting last night.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, just a couple more minutes here with Clayne Jones from MSU Extension. Oh, just a couple more minutes here. There we go. I had my microphone off there. Apologize for that. A couple more minutes here with Clayne Jones from MSU Extension. And by the way, you can find this full report in the press release from Montana State University Extension on their website through the MSU News Service with this headline: Pulse grains in wheat rotations can increase profits for farmers. But yeah, Clayne, you've now been at MSU Extension and as a professor there at MSU for 30 years. Congratulations on that. I'll bet the time has just kind of flown by for you. What are some final thoughts you have in terms of, especially for the growers out there, in terms of some things they need to consider before they look at integrating pulses if they're in the Big Sandy or other areas, or in addition to like the Big Sandy area of the Golden Triangle, what other parts of Montana would you also kind of say mirror, the conditions that would apply here with this study on the Golden Triangle?
A lot of central Montana also has a fair amount of fallow in rotation. That's an ideal area for pulse crops. They're doing quite well there. A lot of those soils are shallow. They can't store a lot of water, which is a big reason to do fallow. So we're finding in central Montana the pulse crops do well and can also increase profit. And then there's also some fallow land out in southeast Montana where pulse crops could do fairly well. They're just not as common in that area.
All right. Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, and then final thoughts from you. Something else that producers really need to look at, growers need to look at before they start changing up their rotations.
One thing to look at, I would say, is just, talking to a neighbor, talking to your crop advisor, learning how to grow these pulse crops. Most people find they can use the exact same seeder, the same harvester. They might have to slow down a little bit at harvest, use something called a draper header. But for the most part, they're not that different than growing wheat. So one thing would be just, learn how to grow them. The second thing would be, because nitrogen fertilizer is the major cause of low pH, and pulse crops like pea and lentil can reduce nitrogen use, you really want to try to get these into your rotation if they're a fit for you. And you want to do that before you have low pH, because they do really poorly under low pH, worse than the cereals do. So you can't wait till you have a problem. And therefore, I really suggest you work with your crop advisor, make sure you don't have low pH before you start planting pulse crops.
All right. And then if people want to find out more, I'm assuming just, hey, check your local county extension agent and they can help walk you through this research a little bit more.
That would be one way. You can also go to my webpage, specifically look up this fertilizer fact sheet called Fertilizer Fact 82. And the best way to find my webpage is probably just to Google Clayne, C-L-A-I-N, and soil. And I'm usually the first hit because that's such a unique first name.
That's right. All right. Well, thanks for joining us on this show. Great insight, and I know it's greatly appreciated by our listeners across the state. Thanks for all your time.
Thank you, Aaron. Appreciate it.
All right. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. If you got something you want to talk about as well, or you want to jump in on the conversation here, a lot of topics that we want to cover for you here on this Freedom Friday as well. The Montana State Senate is still at a standstill. Well, unless something new broke this morning, I guess I haven't been up on X or Twitter or whatever you want to call it here in the last hour or so to see if there were any new developments. But as of late last night, you still had 9 Republican state senators still as holdouts voting with the Democrats on the Senate rules. And Senate President Matt Regeer, who joined us yesterday on the show, reportedly was telling his caucus members, hey, I'm not going to hand over control of the Senate floor to the Democrats. And apparently Regeer offered up some compromises with these 9 holdouts, including doing away with this, the Executive Study Committee. I think that was apparently one of the big sources of discontent with some of the members. This executive study committee was going to be designed to take a closer look at some of the bills that the governor's office was putting forward before the legislature. So I had wondered earlier this morning, after hearing the latest news on this, on what's going on at the legislature, I had wondered, well, hey, maybe some of these state senators are saying, hey, why are we going to be, going through an additional process to question the governor's bills? Maybe that's what the fight is over. But as I understand it, one of the compromises that was put forward by President Regeer yesterday was, okay, they will no longer include this executive review committee. So what's the holdout now? Are these, 9 Republicans just trying to jockey for better committee assignments? Really? That's what this is coming down to? You're just holding out for a committee assignment? I'm throwing the question out there, because if you're one of those lawmakers and you're listening, please give us a call, because what it looks like right now is you've got 9 Republicans that are teaming up with the Democrats and to undermine your own leadership. Now, if it's simply, hey, you want to make sure that the legislature isn't undermining the governor, okay, well, hey, it's, figure out how to unite, figure out how to then fight to get the agenda across the finish line. But yeah, I'd be interested in hearing from any of those lawmakers on why you're still holding out and not getting the show moving here. Because now here we are a few days into the legislative session, and the Montana State Senate is still at a standstill. Governor Greg Gianforte in Mar-a-Lago last night having dinner with President Trump. You know what? I'll hold off on that audio because I see we got a couple callers on the phone lines. So let's go to a couple calls first, and then I'll share some of what Governor Greg Gianforte had to say at Mar-a-Lago last night with President Trump. I mentioned how the Montana State Senate is still at a standstill unless there's some new developments. I'll go check X to see if we've got some new developments coming across the screen here. But let's go to Pete in Kalispell, listening to KJJR. Hey, Pete, what's your thoughts? Thanks for the call.
Morning, Aaron. Hey, the legislature being stuck in neutral sounds eerily like what I heard Bill Paxton of Texas describing what happened to him just 2 nights ago. He said that the Democrats get together and get a couple squishes in the committee chairs, and then basically after they're done infighting, the Dems swoop in and pick up the pieces. So I would suggest any true powers that be in our legislature have a good heart-to-heart with Mr. Paxton from Texas and find out how he beat these devils.
Yeah, that's interesting. So, yeah, I didn't hear about that story out of Texas just from, 2 days ago. I know they had a lot of battles down in Texas, with the attorney general kind of battling the legislature there, some of the party, on-party infighting, if that's what you want to call it. Yeah.
It was all part and parcel of the same scheme by the Democrats to get the Republicans infighting so they can just swoop in and pick up the pieces after all the S hits the fan.
Yeah, and that's so where That's what the Democrats have been good at. I mean, they've been good at that. I mean, look at the U.S. House of Representatives over the past couple of years. Republicans had such a slim majority, and then you had a handful of Republicans vote with the Democrats here, or a handful of Republicans that were going to vote with the Democrats over there, and they continued to undermine their own caucus, and they were so divided, and a House divided cannot stand. Fortunately, Washington, D.C. right now, it looks like the Republicans are fully united, thanks to President Donald J. Trump and a Republican-controlled Senate, and they're moving forward aggressively, but unfortunately, we're back to this, you know, some of this infighting in the Capitol in Helena is what it sounds like.
I would strongly suggest these the true conservatives in our legislature have a heart-to-heart with Mr. Paxton and find out how he beat these devils.
Well, I hope it's the
exact same story.
I hope it's as Jeff Lasloffy described in his Thursday legislative report, that this is just a bump in the road, and that once they get over this rules debate, then they'll quickly move forward and start, you know, hammering out the agenda, you know, and I think we'll start to see some fast, decisive action. We'll see more tax relief, you name it. I think they're going to pile up a lot of victories. But yeah, there is certainly a concern there that a handful of Republicans could be used by the Democrats once again to push their agenda instead of the agenda that the people of Montana just clearly sent a mandate for in the November elections. Hey, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. Next up, let's go to Nathan in Bozeman on the phone lines. Nathan, what's on your mind?
Yeah, hey, with California and their lack of water being able to fight the fire, you know, California loves to suck things out of straws. On every single corner, there's a fast food restaurant. They're sucking soda through those straws. There's cocaine in every movie star's house. So to California, why don't you just stick a giant straw into the Pacific Ocean and start sucking? You got all the water you need to fight the fire. I don't understand. Is it illegal to dump seawater down the drains where it goes into the ocean? Like, what's
well,
their problem? Why can't they just...
Some of the super scoopers, you know, the big super scoopers like Bridger Aerospace here in Montana has... some of the super scoopers are doing just that. They're scooping up ocean water and using that to drop on the fires. The hardest part is for the firefighters on the ground, and not enough water pressure in the fire hydrants, or maybe not enough water. That's what we need to pin down, right? And so here you got this major catastrophe that they were warned was on the horizon. They knew they had a bad wind event coming. They knew they didn't do the work they needed to do to prevent something like this from happening. And then now they can't get water out of their own fire hydrants. I mean, it's just an epic tragedy. But yet something that Donald Trump and Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke worked to try to stop from happening in the first place. But they had nothing but scorn for those guys, didn't they?
Yeah, right.
All right. Hey, Nathan, thanks for the call. I'm seeing the clock here. I got to hit a hard break here, and then we'll be back. Phone lines are open for you if you call in right now.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
This week, I'm in Orlando, Florida at the Potato Expo, the nation's largest potato industry event, which brings growers, processors, and innovators together to help tackle the challenges facing the industry while learning about new innovations along the way. And of course, Montana is a top seed potato producing state. And while here in Orlando, I caught up with Ronan Montana's Susan Lake with Lake Farms.
I'll tell you, Ed, what I really like is that we're seeing people from that we know in the industry. It's amazing how many people have collected here and how much interaction that you can have. And just looking at trade, looking at innovation, I'm excited to be here.
From the educational speakers to trade show exhibitors, Susan says it's all a learning experience.
Well, I like the tractors, but the irrigation was the big one that really jumped out at me, because I'm always thinking about water. And like I said, with our irrigation project on the reservation and worrying about how much water there's going to be, I think water's huge. I think the fertilizers piece is huge. There's new innovative things.
Now, I also need to congratulate Susan and Jack Lake on recently being named the Ronan Chamber of Commerce Ag Producers of the Year. So congrats to the Lake family from Ronan on that honor, and it was great catching up with them here in Orlando. I'm Lane Nordlund reporting from Potato Expo.
taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So we have 22 Republican governors here tonight of the 27. We had a couple, they were getting inaugurated today, so they couldn't be here. Another one's got delayed by the snow. But we're really pleased to be here at the invitation of the president-elect. It's been a long period without cooperation from Washington. So we're looking forward to the new administration coming in. We have a lot of business to get done on behalf of our state. So we're just pleased to be here to meet with the president. Well, I think it's different depending on the state. I know for Montana, we've wrestled with overreach from the EPA, problems with other agencies, whether it's Interior, with public lands. But I know each governor that's standing up here has expressed frustration. When President Trump was in office previously, we'd have periodic phone calls, regular interactions where we could express the concerns and really collaborate. We've had a number of situations with the current administration where it's been crickets. We haven't heard anything.
All right, there you go. That was the opening remarks from Montana Governor Greg Gianforte in Mar-a-Lago. If you watch the YouTube video, and thanks to C-SPAN for sharing this, Howard Mortman with C-SPAN for sharing this. If you watch the video, it's kind of cool because you see Governor Greg Gianforte is the first at the podium, and the podium has the Trump-Vance banner on it. And he basically kicks off the entire thing. He's got the other 20-plus Republican governors standing behind him. He takes the first question, and you heard there the first question and the first answer. And then after that, the fireworks started. The fireworks started shortly after that. One of the reporters asked the governors a question about, well, hey, what do you guys think about Donald Trump criticizing? Is this really the time for Donald Trump to be criticizing California Governor Gavin Newsom? And then, man, the gloves came off. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis just lit up that reporter.
Is it appropriate
for people in your industry to try to create division and to try to create narratives anytime these things happen? Now, you're not as interested in doing that because Newsom is a D. If Newsom was a Republican, you guys would go try to, you would have him nailed to the wall for what they're doing over there. And I know we've dealt with it. We just assume in Florida, anytime something happens, it's going to be politicized by the media. So you guys sitting in judgment of Donald Trump, I mean, excuse me, I think your track record of politicizing these things is very, very bad.
Okay. Yeah, great job. And it goes on for about another minute or so there with another follow-up from the press and then him going after them once again. But making this spot on point that they will find any excuse to attack a Republican governor over anything, no matter how good the response, no matter how good the preparation. But yet, look at California Governor Gavin Newsom was warned. Donald Trump, when he was president the first time, when Ryan Zinke was the Interior Secretary, as we talked yesterday on the show, they told him, you need to do this, we need to do that, we need to do this, we're here to work with you. But no, they wanted to do whatever they could to undermine President Donald Trump, and then they gave Trump and Ryan Zinke the middle finger and their own people the middle finger when they said, no, we're not going to do any of that. That whole forest health thing, having water in the reservoirs, now we're going to tear down the dams because it's the woke thing to do, and look at the situation they're in right now. I've got more comments from Governor Greg Gianforte at that a press conference. He kind of gave some closing remarks as well. So I'll get back to that here in just a second. Plus, I want to do one more point on what Nathan and Bozeman called in to talk about. But first, let's go back into the phone lines. We've got Pat in Laurel. Pat, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Colonel Flynn, thank you for taking my call.
Hey, thank you.
I'd like to say, you're welcome. Happy New Year to you, sir.
Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, thank you. Having immigrated to this country through legal and proper channels, along with millions of other fellow immigrants from other countries who did the same, I'd like to point out that the influx of illegal immigrants is a hurtful slap in the face. My fellow legal immigrants and I contribute to the society. We pay taxes like everybody else. They and I assimilate and not dissimilate. Granted that a majority of those people, in spite of the fact that they entered the country illegally, came here for better life and new opportunities. It's still against all immigration protocol and stipulation. However, with a wide open border, a small minority, as you and I know, entered with ulterior motives. They came not to help build, but destroy. They are here not to make, but mar. That is tragically unacceptable and unequivocally disgraceful. Thank you for your time, sir. And one more small request. If you are free, I'd like to talk to you personally. I have a letter to give to you, a copy, and through you to pass on the powers that be. If that is okay, please.
Yeah, if you no, I would love to meet with you, because I remember when you called in a couple of months ago, and it was such a great phone call.
Yeah.
And
can I do that, please?
Yeah, well, shoot me an email, aaron@montanatalks.com, or you can message us through the app as well. And yeah, I'd love to have coffee with you or something, because it sounds like you've just got an incredible story, incredible personal story, and I love your message, because all these people that virtue signal, that claim to care about immigrants, they claim to be so much more caring than the rest of us. They created a humanitarian crisis, a humanitarian nightmare on our southern border. 300,000 plus missing children that could be in the hands of the sex trade right now. Where do a lot of these illegal migrants end up settling? In migrant communities. So people who came here legally now have these illegal aliens coming in and committing vicious, horrific crimes. You did it the right way. You came the right way. And we're so thankful that you're here in Montana. But yet you got these woke virtue signaling people out there. Our country is all about immigration. Yeah, legal immigration, not this invasion that you guys have allowed to happen. What a beautiful message and phone call there from Pat and Laurel. But also that letter that you want me to pass on to the powers that be. Easiest way might be to email me that. If you can email me a copy of that, aaron@montanatalks.com, or send us a message on the app, I'll forward it to whoever I can try to get it to for you here. All right. Pat, thanks for the call. That was awesome. Skip in Hamilton next up. Skip, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Hello, Aaron. Haven't talked to you for a while, probably since last year.
Well, Happy New Year.
You too, sir. I wanted to bring up some of the things that are going to be coming up in our legislative session that private citizens need to keep their thumb on the pulse of, because a lot of them are going to be affected by many different issues, and they might want to be following them and stay in contact verbally with by even calling their legislators, their representatives and their senators about how they feel about these things. Not just call the State House and leave a blue slip on somebody's desk, but have a conversation about it with your representative that you personally elected. And it's things like, for instance, Medicaid expansion, which is going to be a real hot-button issue as to whether it gets sunsetted or not. And it's going to affect a lot of people. There'll be a lot of hospitals if it doesn't pass. I like to see all the cards get put on the table, especially when, like, Matt Regeer talks about it. Make sure that both sides of the coin are exposed. Somebody like himself is going to have a different opinion of its success than, say, the governor is. And we need to make sure we get the people involved so that the people are the ones that help make the decision. And then another thing that's going to come up is Article 5 in our U.S. Constitution, our Convention of States. And it's probably going to come to the floor again. It only lost by one vote on the third round the last time, as to whether it's the right thing for the state of Montana to apply to be the 20th state. To be in a convention of states if we ever get to 34.
That nearly got – they were one vote shy in the state Senate last go-around on that, weren't they?
That's correct. I think it was – something tells me it was in the House of Representatives, maybe not. I think it was a representative from from Missoula that voted for it the first two times and then against it the third, and that killed it.
Yeah, I think there was actually a Democrat that voted for it at one point. I believe it was in the state Senate because State Senator Tom McGilvery is a big backer of the proposed convention of states to try to bring about a balanced budget amendment at the federal level to deal with our national debt. And they came up one vote shy. I mean, he's been preaching on that topic for a number of years. All right, Skip, great to hear from you. Happy New Year. Appreciate the phone call. What about the state legislature? I've got a few messages that have come in with regard to the Montana Senate still being at a standstill and a couple follow-ups from our chat yesterday with Senate President Matt Regeer. Did you?
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, 1 week from today, we will be broadcasting live from the Montana Capitol. We'll be at the Fan Window location Friday, January 17th. We'll be previewing the Montana Electric Cooperative's co-op days at the Capitol. They're having their big event Monday, January 20th. So we'll be previewing and promoting that event with our show on Friday. Looking forward to that. We'll have open microphones and more. Speaking of the state legislature, the Montana State Senate still at a standstill as nine Republican state senators vote with the Democrats when it comes to this rules debate. Evan in Belt says this. This is a message from Evan in Belt. Our state legislators have 90 days to conduct our state business. I am about sick and tired of this stupidity. We need judicial reform and property tax reform, among many other issues. So we send what we think are good conservatives to get this business done. And these are his words here. And meanwhile, we've got some dumbass Republicans who have wasted 10 of these 90 days. Come on, you idiots. Check your damn egos at the door and get our business done and quit wasting our money. That's from Evan in Belt. Tammy in Kalispell. Tammy in Kalispell sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. Tammy says she's calling them the Nasty Nine. I think somebody else had referred to them that way. But anyway, Tammy says this: anyone who puts themselves ahead of their constituents should be primaried, period. These nine politicians have chosen to keep property taxes high, chosen to not reform our judicial system, and chosen not to represent us by halting the Senate. This is disgraceful. That's from Tammy in Kalispell. What say you? Give us a call, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. Larry in Great Falls sent a great message yesterday. It was just as we were wrapping up our chat for our weekly update with Senate President Matt Regeer. And Larry says this: what about the elimination of Social Security taxes this session? Hey, amen. Amen to that one, Larry. The Republican legislators have passed a bill to stop taxing Social Security benefits in past sessions. Let's do it again this session and get a governor that can sign it. You know, it was vetoed by a Democrat governor before. Okay, let's see. Cindy in Hungry Horse next up on the phone lines. Cindy, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Oh, hey, it's really good to have you back. Anyway, I was watching TV, and that woman that was running up to talk to Gavin Newsom about her daughter and all the kids and the families that had lost their schools and their homes, and he sat there trying to placate her and coerce her in this low, even, sexy, I guess, sultry voice or whatever, that she was not being fair, she was not being right, that he was in control. And it almost sounded to me like he was one of those slimy guys that, you know, on kiddie porn. I mean, it sounded really bad. And then on Gutfeld last night, I thought the funniest line of the night was when they said that they had to put Gavin Newsom far enough away from the flames so that he wouldn't cause a grease fire that they could never put out. And I thought that was just that put me over the edge. I thought that was so funny.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you don't want to be mean or too personal, but the way he has acted as governor, it's slimy, it's greasy. It's just downright dirty. And they could have done so many things to improve the situation there, and they were told, and they refused.
Well, he's never owned up to anything that he's done anyway. So in his eyes, he's never done a bad thing in his life. And so, you know, I mean, it's really too bad that they cannot hold these people accountable. That would be the greatest thing in the world, is if they could hold the politicians accountable for what they do.
Well, and why do you keep voting for these people? You think that just by putting another Democrat in power, oh, we'll get rid of Gavin Newsom, we'll put in some other Democrat. It's the philosophy that's a failure. It's the radical environmentalists that run these mouthpieces that makes them the failure. And that's what these folks in California, I think, will finally start to get now. It's just tragic that it has to come to this for some people to wake up. Hey, Cindy, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. By the way, Joe Rogan, Jesse Waters featured a clip from Joe Rogan's podcast with Mel Gibson.
What are they spending on preventing these wildfires?
Zero.
Zip.
And in 2019, I think Newsom said, you know, I'm going to take care of the forests and maintain the forests and do all that kind of stuff. He didn't do anything.
And then on top of that, they cut the water off.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's all funny. And then I think all our tax dollars probably went for Gavin's hair gel.
And then he gets on TV and pretends like everything's great.
Mm-hmm.
And California's the best. We have the best state. We have the most amazing economy. I'm like, you're out of your f***ing mind, dude. You've ruined this state. It personally ruined it.
All right, yeah. What a spot on commentary there by Joe Rogan. And dailycaller.com, check out a couple of headlines they've got. You want to see what L.A. did spend their tax money on? Transgender cafes, gay choirs. What was the third one? I thought I had that Daily Caller story in front of me. Oh, yeah, here we go. Gay choirs, trans cafes, social justice art, what Los Angeles spent their money on while cutting the fire budget by $17 million. See, it's not just a failure. Hey, why aren't the lights on? Is anybody home at the White House in Washington? It's all the way down to city government in these blue cities and in these blue states like California and L.A. and Washington. And a lot of times.